plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle mood on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air. I'm picking up good vibrations.
Good Tuesday morning to you, and as Paul with Blue Sky Landscaping said, happy Garden Show Day! Yay!
Paul needs to drop in on the show one of these days. We've done it together numerous times, and he's good.
Oh, yes, we love the Garden Show Day, and you know what to do. If you have a question or you have a comment or anything, happy Garden Show Day.
Exactly.
437-1620. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. I'm here with the lovely Mike Wiggins. He has 40 years of landscaping experience, was the mayor of Pensacola, and he can answer, he doesn't want to admit this, but he can pretty much answer any gardening question that you have.
I can answer any question. The answer may not be right, but I'll be glad to answer the question.
It's always right.
No, it is.
It's always right.
You know, that's
so
the thing
smart.
About gardening. You know, many times there is no right answer. You know, everybody has an opinion. You know, how to get my lawn to grow. Mm-hmm. You know, how to get my azaleas to bloom. Everybody's got different ways to do it, but in so many ways, all those different opinions work.
So, they do.
So, and especially in Pensacola, because our gardeners here are world class.
Absolutely.
It's a great place to garden. The way we're in this zone 8 here where we get, you know, we get cold, but we don't get too cold. Mm-hmm. Well, last year was an exception.
Yeah, right. But, 19 degrees.
Exactly. But for the most part, at moderate temperatures, we do have sandy soil, which we can fix that. So it's a great place to garden, and especially this time of year. Now, it's getting hot. There's no doubt about it. But the mornings have been relatively pleasant.
They aren't bad. And the evenings aren't terrible either.
I got out and mowed my yard at 7 o'clock from yesterday. I'm sure the neighbors.
In the morning?
I'm sure the neighbors love that. It's the only time I had to do it. But it had to be done. I've been out of town. And, you know, the rule we always try to tell people on the garden line, you know, never cut off more than a third of the blade of the grass. Well, I've been out of town. My grass had grown. I'm scared I cut off a little more than a third. But
didn't follow your own rule.
Sometimes it just happens. You know, life gets in the way. So.
I hear you. A friend texted in, ask Mike what he knows about hummingbirds and what flowers they like.
Okay, let's talk about hummingbirds a minute. I have 3 hummingbird feeders.
I love watching hummingbirds.
And we just make our own little sugar water and put it in there. And the hummingbirds, early in the spring, were just all over those hummingbird feeders, fighting each other, flying through the air like blue angels. It was just, you almost have to duck because they're going so fast. Anyway, so it was just great. But it all stopped. It all stopped for some reason. I even had a friend of mine
that
kind of does the same thing.
You.
He called me up. He said, Mike, do you have any hummingbirds? Because we had a bunch. Now we don't have any. We have none. We hadn't had any for maybe two to three weeks.
What's going on?
We don't know. I don't know. Now, I predict they'll be back. I would love the person who texted us to tell us if they have hummingbirds. Now, your red flowers are good. Uh-huh. As a matter of fact, last week when we were talking about flowers that red, white, and blue. Mm-hmm. Well, they love red flowers. And one of my favorites is salvia. Uh-huh. Salvia is another name. It's called scarlet sage. Really a pretty. The variety that I like to plant is St. John's Fire. Oh. It's a great plant, but the hummingbirds do like it. But we have found that if you really need to put up your hummingbird feeder.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I love Googling everything you tell me on Tuesday mornings.
Exactly.
I'm just typing away like, okay, let me see what this plant looks like.
If you're really going to have hummingbirds, you need to put out a hummingbird feeder. And you can buy the food pre-mixed, you know, in any big box store, or you can make your own.
Okay.
And go from there. But I don't think it's because they're gone for the good this year. I have a feeling they'll be back. So, I don't know. I don't know where they've been or what they're doing.
They've been in pace because
no, really.
A friend texted in I saw a small hummingbird yesterday on an Agapanthus. You probably say that way better than me.
No, not probably not. No, spell it for
me. A-G-A-P-A-N-T-U-S.
Agapanthus.
See, told you.
Yeah, Agapanthus. Absolutely.
Agapanthus.
That might work.
That's much better.
But that hummingbird feeder is going to be the best way to do it. And I would love to hear from anybody who really does have them. I'm a little jealous of the listener in Pace.
Can you take a picture real quick? We want to see it.
Because we just, they were just all over the place. Like I said, you almost had to watch out where you walked because they would.
I am going to Google because Google is the knower.
Are you
going to
ask Google where the hummingbirds are?
Yes, in just a second, we're going to ask Google and see what Google says.
Great idea.
They probably went to another state or something. They got tired of us over. It's too hot in Florida. We're moving on.
But I don't know. They usually are pretty good in the summer, but it's just really interesting. But and of course, they were gone all winter. That's what they do. They go down to, I think it's, they fly across the Gulf. And go down to South America, I believe. But in any event, so they weren't here during the winter. But then they came back. Now they're gone. So I hope folks texting us can tell us where they've gone.
Okay.
They left me and went to Pace.
That's right.
That's not fair.
Anyway. A friend texted in, please ask Mike, is it too late to put on liquid iron on the grass to get a nice dark color? Is liquid iron better than granula?
That's a great question. Let me kind of, it's kind of a long story. I'll try to make it kind of short. As we get into the summer, iron is great, especially for centipede grass. Now, for St. Augustine grass, as we get into mid-June, even late June, the same fertilizer you used in the spring, one I recommended was 16-08 or 15-0-15, any of those basic lawn fertilizers, St. Augustine and Zoysia would really enjoy those high nitrogen fertilizers as a midsummer feeding. Centipede, not so much. Centipede doesn't want that. It wants just exactly what our listener is talking about. It wants iron. I think ironite, which comes in a bag, just like fertilizer, is probably a good way to do it. Spraying it will work. Spraying it may be a little quicker, especially if you use chelated iron. But I think either one would be good. So St. Augustine Zoysia likes that midsummer kick of nitrogen. Centipede does not. That's why ironite has no nitrogen. Mm-hmm. It's just granular iron or the liquid, either one. The liquid is a little more trouble, in my opinion. You've got to put it in the sprayer and do all of that. But it would be fine. Okay. But I still like that granular ironite. One other thing for the centipede grass is mill organite. Organite is a very organic material. You know where it comes from? It's a byproduct of the sewage system in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It's a nutrient for lawns that has been around for decades and decades and decades, and it's really good, and so that's fine. Ironite or mill organite on centipede in the summer, a higher nitrogen fertilizer for Zoysia and St. Augustine.
Very good. So real quick, this has nothing to do with gardening, but we had a friend text in, traffic is a mess at the back gate of NAS Pensacola, intersection blocked and traffic backed up down both Blue Angel and Gulf Beach Highway. So just make sure you know that. Thank you for texting that in.
That's no problem. We dealt with potholes last week, remember?
So true.
Somebody calls that Andrew. I got a pothole there in my front yard. Well, Andrew's long gone.
We can talk about it.
I don't know if that pothole got filled or not, but
we are going to, we're going to take a quick break first, and then we are going to get to our phone call and a couple more questions here on Pep Talk. Again, you're listening to the Pensacola. Welcome back. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm your host, Tammy Martin, here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. It is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. It's a joy to have him every Tuesday morning. If you have a question, comment, or you would like to call or text 437-1620, we have a phone call this morning. Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. How are you this morning?
We're doing good. Thanks for holding on. Do you have a question for Mike?
That's great. Yes, I do. Mike, I've been looking for a certain type of tree for about 15 or 20 years.
Oh, no.
And I thought you might be able to point me in the right direction. I'm looking for a catawba tree.
Spell it for me.
C-A-T-A-B-A, catawba.
I don't know.
They have big leaves and worms grow on them.
Yeah, big. So you can go fishing with them.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. And they run about a quarter apiece for the worms.
Exactly. So you want to grow your own.
Absolutely.
I'm with you all the way. I don't know where one would get a catawba tree. I tell you what, though. I would certainly call our good friends at the County Extension Service, which has got all the information from University of Florida's extension services, if you will. So I think they could probably guide you in the right direction. I also would think about calling my friend Larry out at Pensacola Seed and Garden. I think Larry is a good tree guy, and I think he might know where you could get one. It's probably a very difficult tree to grow nursery-wise, to propagate and to grow, and that's why you never see them anywhere for sale, if you will.
Right.
There are a lot of other plants like that that they just don't do well in containers or whatever, and so that may be the problem. But I would try those two places, Extension Service, Escambia County Extension Service. If you live in Santa Rosa County, the Santa Rosa County Extension Service is great.
Yeah.
They really are good. Or Larry at Pensacola Seed and Garden. And if you don't find anything at all, next week, call again, and then I'll know you couldn't find it, and let me do a little bird dogging on this and see what I can find for you.
Because I'd like to get about a half a dozen of them.
I got you. Well,
because they are lucrative. Only during the season. Only during the season are they lucrative.
I understand totally. I really do. And it'd probably be fun to do. It'd be something different. Because I have been dealing with trees for so many years and never run across that. So I certainly would make those two phone calls. And let me know if you have no success, and we'll keep trying to see what we can do.
Thank you so much for calling in today.
Okay.
Have a great day.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
So we figured out the hummingbird situation. We had a friend text in a migration map. And so after March 1st of the 15th, they kind of start migrating north. When we get to May 1st of the 15th, they're all the way up in Canada almost.
Okay. Here's the big question, though. That's where they go in the spring and during the summer. When do they come back? That's what we need to know. We need that to know when are the dates that they come back.
And a friend texted, I think the hummingbirds go north to find newly blooming plants. Thank you. Appreciate that. So we got some awesome questions. So thanks for texting in, 437-1620.
I've told you from the first day, we have got some great listeners.
We do. No,
that,
we
that
always
know
do.
All this stuff.
Absolutely.
And share it with us, and we appreciate it.
Yes. I had a friend text in, good morning, I have a purple angel trumpet that has several seed pods on it. What do I do with them? Thank you for all your help, Mike. This is from Andrea. Thank you.
Andrea, thanks
Hi,
for
Andrea.
Calling. I tell you what, I don't know if I've ever seen those seeds propagated, but I would think if you removed them and just got you some good, well-drained potting soil and planted them and see what happens. I've never known anybody to propagate an angel trumpet to get more plants. There are all different ways to propagate things. Do it with seeds. Do it with air layering. Cuttings. There are many different ways to propagate plants. That one you might try cuttings also. Take some cuttings, buy you a little bit of root tone, which is a hormone that helps the roots grow, obviously, and put it in some well-drained potting soil and see if you can't propagate that angel trumpet that way. But try the seeds. See what happens.
Absolutely. Paul with Blue Sky Landscaping, Milorganite?
Yes.
He's being silly about it. He's laughing.
Well, I know he's being silly about it.
Works great on the yard.
Yeah, it does work great on the yard.
He said, try floral tree and garden.
I think for the catawba. The catawba tree?
Yeah, and someone said it's, our friend texted in C-A-T-A-W-B-A.
That's probably accurate.
Yes, thank you.
I went to Florida State. My spelling isn't the best.
Yes. And Greg said, great show. Is there any way to get rid of the alien grass, or better known as Bahia? Hey, I said that. I am impressed with myself right now.
Bahia. Absolutely.
Bahia. I was there. I was like, I've heard it so many times now.
Exactly. That is so hard to do, because Bahia grass, of course, is a permanent grass. You can get rid of it, but you've got to kill everything that's there. No weed and feed, no liquid weed killers are really going to take care of it, other than those that are what we call in the business non-selective.
Okay.
Spray the Bahia, it'll kill it down to the roots, and then you can replant that area with sod or seeds or whatever you're going to do. But there's no, in my opinion, there's no selective weed control. In other words, if you've got Bahia coming up in your centipede or St. Augustine lawn that you're going to spray to get rid of the Bahia, no way. I do have just an interesting fact. I had a neighbor, Tammy, who kind of had a big area of his yard, so he put in nothing but Bahia. And it really hasn't worked that well. It's very thin. It's better for right-of-ways on interstates than it is for lawn.
Pretty woman walking down the street. Welcome back. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm your host, Tammy Martin, here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I have with me Mike Wiggins. It is the Garden Line. It's Tuesday. Yay. We always love the Garden Line. If you have a question or comment, 437-1620, you can call or text.
Two quick things. One, thanks all the texters texting us about the Catawba worm.
Yes.
Or the Catawba tree, if you will, whatever you want to call it. In any event, very interesting. We're going to do a little research on that one to see what's going on. We don't know. We're going to just kind of look into it and see what.
So it's a Catawba worm.
It's
that
a Catawba
lives on
worm
the tree?
That lives on the tree, right? Because the Catawba worm is what fishermen use for bait.
Okay.
And that's why they do that. So in any event, we'll find out all about that.
Yeah.
We did hear from Paul at Blue Sky. Paul did a landscape job over in Cordova Park, where he used, he may need to correct me on this, almost 300 sun patients.
Ooh.
Which it is unbelievable. This is the second year he's done it. Last year, the 19 degrees pretty well did him in. But he redid it, and it looks just as good as
Paul,
it did before.
Paul, if you have a picture, I would love to see
it.
Oh,
yeah, Paul.
Can you text it in?
Any advertising you do, Paul, just use that picture of that. And you
I
know,
totally want to see
in,
it.
You're in business.
Yeah, that
but anyway,
crazy.
They did a wonderful job.
Good.
You know?
Just wanted
to make that plug for Paul.
Thank
Absolutely.
You. And then a friend texted in, maybe the reason there aren't any Catawba trees is because the moth mature insect doesn't live here, from George.
It could be.
So it could be.
George, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Like I say, I am... Obviously, I'm no expert on that particular tree. Mm-hmm. We're going to look into it, though, and find out what we can.
So we have Mike here for another half of the show. So 437-1620, you can call, text. We're going to take a quick break. We have a Fox News update followed by a local news update in our newsroom. Don't forget, Bands on the Beach is back on Tuesday thanks to the Santa Rosa Island Authority at the Gulfside Pavilion at 7. And this week, it's Tyler Mack takes the stage. So take your family out there. Enjoy a good time out at the beach. Right after break, we'll be back. When the night has Welcome back. I hope you're having a wonderful Tuesday morning. We're having a great time here in the studio. I'm here with Mike Wiggins for The Garden Line. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. Thank you so much for texting and calling in today. We truly appreciate it. On the phone with us right now, we have Jim. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, and thank you so much. I love watching your show, Mike and Tammy, or at least listening to it, and I love the oldies music. My question for you is, Mike, is I bought two, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, bougainvilleas, one
right.
of the two, but anyway, I bought two massive ones, and they were just loaded with blooms, both of them. So I put them on my front porch about 10 feet apart in hanging baskets. One of them's doing great. The other one lost all the blooms, but it still has new growth that looks healthy. So I swapped locations, and about 2 weeks ago, and it still doesn't have the blooms on it. They've been fertilized exactly the same, watered exactly the same, and I'm just wondering, what the heck am I doing wrong here?
Boy, that's a tough question. But here's what can happen. Depending where you purchased it and also where you put it, could be different sun-shade relationship. Those bougainvillea love the sun. They're tropical, and they really like the sun. So it may simply be a plant shock situation, and it'll recover from that. The one that has dropped its blooms or doesn't have many blooms will probably come back. It just needs to be in the same place. Don't keep changing it because it doesn't like that. So I think you're going to be just fine. But keep in mind, they do like full sun. I mean, if you've got one on your front porch and you get a lot of sun, that's great. But if it's, say, 50% shade, that's too much shade for a bougainvillea. You need more sun than that.
Okay. All right, I'll do that. Thank you, sir.
Let me say one other thing, too, especially on some of those tropical plants. If you over-fertilize them, that sometimes will mean you'll have blossom drops. So be careful with that. I wouldn't fertilize them at all at this point. I would simply find the right environment, leave it there, keep it watered, and I bet you'll be fine.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
All right, God bless. Bye-bye.
Quick comment.
Yes.
Quick comment. Okay.
Yes.
There's a tree called the catalpa tree, C-A-T-A-L-P-A. Mm-hmm. If it ever, and the internet is telling us, if it ever comes up in conversation in the South, some alternate pronunciations are Catawba.
Oh.
So, and the next thing you're going to hear about is the Catawba worm. They're actually Catalpa, Sphinx caterpillars, and they can defoliate a large catalpa tree in a relatively short period of time. So you may look not only for the catalpa tree, but look for it may be in the marketplace under a catalpa tree.
Catalpa. So C-A-T-A-L-P-A?
Exactly. And, of course, the anglers across the South, fishermen, prize these caterpillars as the best fish bait available during the summer.
Very interesting.
That's
a little bit
about catalpa, catalpa.
I like it.
Interesting.
So we have a question from a friend. Thank you so much for texting. The first pick, so we have a couple of pictures of grass, and I have shown this to Mike. The first pick is a spot in my grass that is brown. The second pick is the area around the spot that looks good. They both get full sun. What might cause that?
Okay.
There are a few other spots like that around the yard. Thanks, Robert. Thank you, Robert.
Right. And Robert, if you look around, I bet you if you look around your neighborhood, you're going to see the same thing. If you look at my yard, you're going to see the same thing. A lot of the grass, quite frankly, in my opinion, was damaged by the 19 degrees. Not all of it, but some of it. And some of it is coming back very, very slow. And where it's coming back very slow, a lot of the weeds are kind of moving in because there's obviously room for them to grow. Not much you can do at this point. I don't believe it's insects. And the picture you gave us, I don't believe is fungus. It doesn't look like that at all. Fungus kind of grows in just a circular arc, if you will. Mm-hmm. Has kind of a burnt brown edge to it. I didn't see that. I think this is probably environmental. The other thing it could be is if you have used a weed killer, even a weed and feed, and maybe you got a little heavy-handed in this area, it could give it the look that I saw. Now, the picture that we got on our phone, on the computer, wasn't as clear as I would like it to be. But as far as I could see, those may be the possibilities in your yard. If it's St. Augustine, whatever, I would put a little extra fertilizer on it like we talked about earlier. See if you can't promote that new growth. That's what I would do.
Awesome. And then Tim's texting. Hi, Tammy. This is Tim. Depends on cooler temps, because we're talking about hummingbirds and why, you know, they haven't come back down to us because we miss them. It depends on cooler temps up there, but I think around late September, early October is when they come back home.
I can't wait that long.
Okay.
I like to look at them.
Okay, hummingbirds, we're going to have a talk.
Let's have a chat.
This is not appropriate behavior.
That's right.
You need to come back home.
Well, we appreciate that. I mean, that makes me feel a little bit better that, it's certainly just not me. And like I say, my friend called me. Uh-huh. He's a big hummingbird guy. He's just all upset. You know,
all upset?
Where are my hummingbirds? I'm upset too. I want my hummingbirds back.
But, oh, goodness.
So we'll have to wait till the fall.
My friend's grandmother used to have a porch. They lived in... they lived up north, and right. The whole area where you would eat is all glass.
Yeah.
And they would have the hummingbird feeders around, and I loved that. That was so pretty.
Those hummingbirds, yeah, they fight.
They live in Michigan.
They fight like children.
Yeah, but it's fun to watch.
Just mad. Now, you know, before we leave this topic, we still got to go back to our texter from Pace that said she had a hummingbird.
Oh, that's right.
Remember? So they're not all gone.
Oh.
You know, if you live in Pace,
you
may have them.
A picture of the hummingbird and send it to us. And Paul, I still need a picture of your beautiful landscaping job. So
there you go.
All right. So Catherine said, my ruffled leaf variegated. I can't talk. It is V-A-R-I-E-G-A-T-E-D.
Variegated.
Begonia.
Variegated.
Variegated begonia is blooming.
Great.
Just wanted to share. So thank you. And I'll show this to Mike at a break for sure. He can't see my screen, and that's what you – he can't see. So I take a picture, and I send it to him, or he walks over.
We need to talk to the IT folks.
We do need to get on your
computer
screen.
Over here to have the pictures.
We always like to go around our elbow to get to our
Exactly.
Why haven't we done this?
Well, you know, I tell you, we've got a lot of good gardeners that listen to our show who know more than any of us will ever know. But Catherine is – the best. She really knows her stuff, and it's good to hear. I'm glad it's blooming, and that's great. Those are fun to grow. Variegated, obviously.
Variegated.
A variegated plant is a plant that has kind of a yellow and green look to it, like a variegated pittosporum. Pittosporum is kind of a variegated. You have green pittosporum, then you have variegated pittosporum. The variegated has just a little more yellow in the leaf.
You remember when Paula sent us this picture of this, the century tree?
Yes.
She said it's blooming. Up, starting the bloom.
Yeah, and remember what
we
said.
So we got another picture, so that's great.
It may be an urban legend, but the legend is that once it sends up that bloom, it dies.
So if you could please let us know if it dies.
Well, yeah, but I bet we've got folks listening, too, that probably have century plants.
Okay.
And will let us either verify or not the theory that once it sends up that tall, it's a tall spike. It's as tall as a two-story building.
Yeah, it's huge.
And it blooms, and then it dies. And I assumed that was why they call it a century plant. Maybe it grows for 100 years, and I'm making all that up because I don't know.
Don't ask me.
well, we need to find out about that.
Our friend has some sad news about the hummingbird. I don't have a picture of the hummingbird, and I've only seen one. The rest have probably left. Well, this hummingbird likes you.
Absolutely.
Sticking around.
Absolutely. Good for you.
You have the good sweet water.
Keep feeding him. Keep feeding him. Or her, or whatever, and hopefully she'll stay with you.
Yes, exactly. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. It is the Garden Line. It's Tuesday. We have Mike Wiggins. It's such a wonderful morning. It's a fun morning. If you want to text...
Where it began, I can't begin to knowing, but then I know it's growing strong.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. We're having a wonderful Tuesday morning. I hope you are too. Thank you so much for texting and calling in 437-1620. We have Mike Wiggins with the Garden Line. We will try to answer your questions the best we possibly can.
Right. Whether it's about a catalpa tree or a catalpa tree or a hummingbird.
We're here for you. That's right. Friend texts
in,
I have a neighbor whose century plant bloomed last spring and the plant did die.
The urban legend
the urban
is correct.
The urban legend is true.
It is true.
It is no longer an urban legend if it's true, right?
Maybe it's a century plant. Maybe it lasts 100 years, and then it dies. Maybe.
Well, I don't have an answer for you, Mike.
I don't either. But good. Thank you. That's sort of
thank you.
Verifies
that was awesome.
What we've heard for years and years.
Exactly.
And it's really interesting when it does, and it's certainly noticeable. It sends up that tall.
Yeah,
stalk.
It's so tall.
Very
These
tall.
These pictures, it's amazing how tall it is.
But, you know, Century Plant, we've mentioned, is a great plant for an area that really gets very little water.
Okay.
It's got all the water is in the leaves, but in the plant itself. And a lot of them at the beach. You can see them at the beach.
Oh, okay. Yeah, absolutely. That's great.
Absolutely.
Do you know how to, I have a different question for you. Are you a grower of fruits and vegetables and things like that too?
In what regard? You mean like fruit trees?
No, like tomatoes and zucchini. Oh, no, do you do all that too?
No, we've talked about that on the garden line a lot. It's a good time. They're two good plants and you can plant in your garden right now.
What is it?
Okra and southern peas, black-eyed peas.
Do you have a lot of vegetables you're growing?
No.
No,
I don't have enough room. Yeah. I wish I did. But I don't have enough room. Over the years, I'll plant a couple of cherry tomatoes, which I really enjoy, and some herbs, you know, to cook with. But this year has been too busy; hadn't been able to do it.
Well, you're here with me.
There you go.
We wish you were here more with me, though.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, I'm ready to go.
Our hour goes by so fast.
Oh, it really does. Well, a couple of things we need to mention before we go any further. This is not good news, but we are in hurricane season.
Yes.
And so be ready. Obviously, we all know, you know, get your hurricane kit and all that. But insofar as gardeners are concerned, I think the most important thing that one can do, check all of your trees, especially your live oak trees.
Okay.
I'll just be personal on this. I've got a big live oak tree in my front yard. I love it. It's beautiful, except for the leaves in the spring. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's great. But about every 2 years, I'll get a guy who's in the tree surgery. He's a tree surgeon. Come in and thin it out. You don't want them to get so thick that you get a category 3 or 4, or God forbid, a 5.
Oh, goodness.
Come in and it acts like a sail and just knock that tree over.
Okay.
You want the wind to be able to go through the tree. And I've always said, many of the tree surgeons we have in Pensacola are really good, almost to the point that they're artistic, because they can get in there and thin that oak tree out, and you'll never know they've been there.
Really?
It really looks great. They don't leave a bunch of stubs and that type of thing. So it's just something to think about if you really have an oak tree that you haven't done that to, say, 3 to 4 years. I try to do mine every 2 years, but be careful, because that can really cause major damage.
Okay, yeah.
If those live oaks get blown over.
Definitely. And it's no longer 72s on you. It's a whole week. You have to be prepared for a whole week. They're changing it.
That's exactly right.
Emergency management said 1 week,
exactly.
A few days.
And be careful. So. Be careful with all those container plants you've got, especially any of those that tend to be top heavy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might want to, if you can, put them in the garage. Do what you can do. One other thing, especially, and this isn't necessarily for hurricanes, but for many of these very strong afternoon showers we get in the summer, is be sure your flower beds are mulched. I know that's not a very exciting topic, but it really needs to be done. Pine straw, pine bark, cypress mulch, even the leaves you got off your oak tree are good. Because what we're trying to do is we don't want it to be bare dirt there. You get the rain, the bare dirt, everything flows into the gutter, ends up in our bays and our waterways. So it turns into the stormwater system, and you don't want that to happen. So be very cognizant of that. I think it's really, really important.
Absolutely.
No doubt about it. So anyway, the mulch. One thing about the mulch, though. Don't use the grass clippings. You know, we talked last week about when you mow your yard, should you collect the grass clippings? Well, a lot of the literature says you don't have to. Let it go back into the yard and there are a few nutrients there. But I have found, especially if there's any kind of weed problem, collect the clippings off your yard.
Okay.
But don't use those as the mulch in your flower bed, because many times you'll have a bit of fungus in the grass. You don't want to transfer it to your flower bed. So. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. This is the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. It's so great to have you listening this morning. I hope you're having a fantastic Tuesday morning like we are. We enjoy you texting and calling in. It is 437-1620. We have a few minutes left. And I have a text from a friend. In regard to using leaves for mulch, I would caution against live oak leaves. They are cup-shaped, and they hold water and can be a major breeding ground for mosquitoes. Yeah, we talked about that before.
We sure have, and that's a great point. That's a great point. That's why a lot of people don't rake their leaves as much as they probably should, because it is cupped leaf. It does hold water. And that's a great topic to hit very quickly. We as gardeners have all these containers all throughout your yard, maybe behind the garage, maybe behind a potting shed that you've got, whatever. Mm-hmm. Saucers and pots and all of that. And I find myself, when I go back and check on all that, there's always one or two that I didn't turn upside down and is holding water. So that standing water is really what needs to be controlled to take care of the mosquitoes. And the mosquitoes are already bad.
Oh, I got bit. I was at a birthday party on Saturday by the pool, and mosquitoes will find me from 1,000 miles away and come bite me, and they literally bit my finger on my knuckle. I mean, they will find. Yeah, I have an issue. I don't know if it's my blood type or. And I had the DEET on before anybody else. So thank you so much, Mike, for coming. I truly enjoyed
it. It was great. It was a different show today.
And a friend texted in, great show, very informative, gardening every Tuesday. Every Tuesday at 9 to 10, we have Mike Wiggins. So you want to tune in every Tuesday with your questions. We'd love to hear from you. Coming up, we have ProHealth. If you need an affordable way for healthcare,